audio on that on Facebook. It pastor gets on and she just gives a motivational word that's been laid on her heart that week. And it's just, I can't express how important, how vitally important the word is to our spirit.
It
is. You need to check it out.
Check them out. This week was, Taste and See That the Lord is Good. So check that one out on Marcia McAllister Post or Beacon of Hope Ministries. All right. Welcome back to the second half of Living the Good Life right here with my radio team members, my sweet, wonderful friends, actually, Megan and Shell. And, you know, I love that about this radio team because somebody asked me, well, are they all right here? No, they're really not. Shell's clear up north in Wesley Chapel, which is a long way away, really. And Megan's even further away up in Michigan. And Megan's mom, Betty's in Indiana, and Cindy Henderson's in Idaho. And, I mean, it just goes on. And then we've got those like Pastor Jim and Nan and others that are right here in Clearwater area with us. But it's, you know, I love the way this ministry has incorporated y'all, Cindy Logan, Indiana, you know, from so many different places because we're all united in spirit, Shell. Don't you believe? Yeah. I mean, that's what it's about.
Our hearts are all in the right place.
There you go.
We all respect and love each other. And I learn from you guys so much, you know?
Well, we learn from each other.
I like hearing all the different perspectives.
Yeah,
and everybody's life experiences. So I think it's great that we're not all alike and living in the same small town.
I totally agree. Megan, why do you still do radio with us after all these years? Because you've been on for a long time. I can't even tell you how many years.
You know, the reason why is because I cherish the time that I get to spend with whoever's on with me, especially you, Pastor, because you've been such an influential person in my life since I was a kid. And it's an honor to be able to get on here and have the testimonies that I do to share with whoever hears the radio broadcast. But it also gives me strength. It gives me spiritual strength because Sundays are just, I absolutely love Sundays because it's church day. Sometimes it includes radio day, but it's just something else to keep me uplifted.
Absolutely.
It's very easy to get to let the world get to you.
It
and
is.
So
yes.
I just love it.
You know, because it's not easy. We all have jobs. We all have situations in our lives, home situations, family, neighbors, friends. And there's so much pain and suffering everywhere, Shell. And our goal living the good life is to bring hope and to give people a desire to get in the Word of God. And our slogan is where the Word of God brings healing and restoration to hurting lives, because we're all hurting in some way or another. You want to comment on that, Shell?
I was just going to, you know, echo Megan's sentiments. I don't go back as far in history with you, but I really owe
a long way, though.
My walk with God started with you and with Pastor Jim and the church. And
2008
really,
or 9, I think.
Yeah. I mean, before that, it was sort of half-hearted, and, you know, for years, I didn't go to any church at all. I didn't read the Bible. I didn't do anything, but it was through your Bible teachings that really got me hungry for the Word, and then I started seeing miracles happen, and,
yeah.
You know, so it is something to look forward to, and I've always said, hey, you know, it keeps me, good.
It keeps you good.
Yeah, because I can be naughty and get complacent.
Makes you behave.
Like Megan talked about.
Right.
Yes, makes me behave.
And
study, because if I do the answers, you know, I wouldn't have to study. So
right.
It forces me to do that, and I enjoy it. So thank you,
you know,
for having me.
And I mentioned earlier, Megan, those early years pastoring in Indiana, 7 years to the day, the church we started there. And watching my kids, you know, sit there with you and the other young people and hear the Word. And I can honestly say you're a product of those years. So are all three of my children who still have the Word working mightily in them. And a few weeks ago, my sister Karen and I went to Indiana for two of my grandson's high school graduations, Levi and Justin. And on Sunday morning, we went to church with my oldest son, Ryan, and his wife, Mary. And Mary sings on the praise team, and so does Ryan, but he plays drums for the church. And then he sang a solo that morning. He sang I've Been Redeemed by Big Daddy Weave, and I recorded it. And, of course, he gave me that look like, Mom, really, you're going to do this while I'm singing up here? And I'm thinking, yes, son, I am, because you started singing with me at age six, so I'm going to do this. And even my sister pulled out her phone, and so we both did that. But I say all that to say, I looked at my son, I looked at his wife, and the kids, and actually their little granddaughters, my twins, were sitting there. We were all in the front row. And I thought, how interesting this is. And all those years of teaching the word, speaking the word, and then my son is up there singing his lungs out, and so is his wife, and their kids are right there on the front row. And I mean, it's that heritage we give, you know, and it's worth
all that
fruit. Yeah, it's what we're doing right now, Shel. It's planting seeds of the word of God in people's lives. Why? Because we know it works. Megan, do you have a quick comment on that before we go to the song?
Absolutely. You know, it's just really cool to hear you talk about, you know, Ryan and Mary and your great-grandkids and how they were sitting with you there at the church. It's just so awesome that, you know, that the love of God and the heritage that he creates in our families, when we choose to stand and make him the cornerstone in our life, how it impacts every generation. It gave me goosebumps, Pastor.
Woo!
It's awesome.
All right. Now, here's Danny Gokey. You guys are going to love this. Impossible Things. Woo! Love this song. One of my new favorites. Love it. I usually play it about 12 times in a row in my car. So I'll just tell you how much I like it.
You healed a brokenhearted. You set the captive free. You lift the heavy burden. And even now you are lifting. Darkness surrounding me, there you prepare a table, in the presence of my enemies, there is no healer like the Lord our Maker, there is no equal to the King of Kings, oh, our God is with us, we will fear no. You do impossible things, yeah. You do the impossible.
Even now, he wants to lift you up, dear one, from whatever's going on in your life where you need a touch from Almighty God. And all he asks is that you believe that he can and that he wants to, because he loves you so very much. We're in John 11 with Megan and Shell, and we are down about the area where Jesus arrives at the house of Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. And Mary doesn't come outside, but Martha does. And Martha comes out and she says, if you'd been here, I'm in verse 21, my brother wouldn't have died. Even now I know that whatever you ask God, he will give you. Jesus said, your brother will be raised up. And Martha said, I know he's going to be raised up in the resurrection at the end of time. The verse I want us to get to is verse 25, because this is the I am statement. I am, Jesus said, you don't have to wait to the end. I am right now resurrection and life. The one who believes in me, even though he or she dies, will live. And everyone who lives believing in me does not ultimately die at all. Do you believe this? And I find this fascinating. Here Jesus uses this occasion for the fifth time to say, I am. Remember in the book of Exodus chapter 3, Moses was told by God to go to Pharaoh and to tell him that the Israelites need to be set free from slavery. And Moses said, well, who shall I say that you are? And I mean, what's your name? And he goes, tell him I am. Yahweh, I am. I am that I am, is what he said to tell him. Tell him I am that I am sent you. And so here we are, and Jesus now in the New Testament, seven times, that's God's number, seven times he gives an I am statement. I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the door. I am the good shepherd. And now to day number five, I am the resurrection and the life. And so, dear ones, Martha here was just like us, I think. And so like, wow, what's that about? My brother's dead. And then she even said, you know, I know you could say, hey, rise up, but you know, I know that's going to happen at the end of time. Talk to us, Megan, then we'll go to Shell for her comments on this. I love this. Just shows Jesus having another opportunity to describe who he is. Jesus is.
That's right. And he is everything. And there is nothing and no thing that he cannot do. He is your
Amen.
Everything.
Amen.
And no matter how many times you question him or how many times that you may have an inkling of a doubt, he still is the I am.
He is.
Whatever situation that is to you, he is everything.
You know, I've been encouraging people in this series to make lists as things happen in our daily lives and put a note on your refrigerator someplace, Jesus is. And then when you have a revelation during the day of some aspect of who he is to you, like Jesus is my provider, or Jesus is the healer of my body, or Jesus is the healer of my emotions, or whatever it is that comes to you, we want God, it through the person of his son Jesus, to become so real in your life through this series that you can honestly say, Jesus is the resurrection and the life. And one of these days, I will be resurrected for all eternity. Talk to a Shell. Woo! Praise God. Jesus is the resurrection and the life.
Well, for me, it like Martha, when she said that, I wasn't sure if she was being indignant or if she was just, you know, frustrated. But for me, my takeaway is, you know, there's so many people, including myself, I do fear death from time to time, just the separation and
I think everybody
the impact.
Does.
Yeah. Sure. But it gives me comfort to know that this is not it,
this
and it affects your whole life outlook, because if everyone knew or believed that, you know, and Jesus hadn't come along, that this is it, this is all we have to live for, then, you know, that would be a pretty crummy way to go through life.
It would, wouldn't it?
With nothing to look forward to,
right.
With no hope. So putting it all in him, I mean, I don't understand how people don't believe that he is everything, the Alpha, mm-hmm. the Omega, that he's
right.
omnipresent, present, and, you know, I just,
amen.
I don't get it once they are introduced or hear about them, why they don't hunger. But then again, I'm not judging. I'm just trying to wrap my brain around it.
Well, it
because
is.
Because we don't get all the miracles today that they did back then. But
right. But we do. But there are so many times that miracles happen in our lives. Yeah. And we're not even, we don't even see that it's a miracle that's happened. We just get used to God answering our prayers. Talk to us, Megan, on this, because Martha is saying here, I believe you're the Messiah. I mean, but you know that she was probably thinking, but why didn't you come sooner so my brother wouldn't have died? You know, go ahead, Megan.
Yeah, she was questioning him. And I don't see anything wrong with that at all, because we, when something happens to us or someone that we love, we as humans, we need answers, because we want to understand. We want to know why it happened, and why didn't you do it this way, and why couldn't it be this way? But as hard as that is to say, that sometimes God is not going to answer those questions, because I have those questions and I haven't had them answered yet in some aspects of some things that have gone on in my life. But that's where we need to learn to trust.
Right.
And I know that trust is a very tough issue, especially maybe for a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
It is for me sometimes, because sometimes when you have to, you know, you got to throw that trust pole out there into the ocean. It's like, oh, is it going to sink or is it going to float?
Right.
Because I don't know how I feel right now.
Right.
Because it's scary.
Right.
But I'm here to tell you that, you know, if I right now could stand in front of Jesus and ask him why my son had to die, I wouldn't even ask that question, because I'm still learning why that happened, and I probably may never know until I get to heaven.
Right.
The one thing that I would tell him, I wouldn't ask the question, is I would say thank you.
Right.
For taking him so that he would not be in pain. And, yes. You know, that's that shift that I talked about earlier in the show,
mm-hmm.
is that we need to have a spiritual shift within ourselves to view these situations different. And I think that's why, Pastor, that you're talking about Lazarus and this story and you know, how the disciples had doubt, how
right.
they had fear, how that she questioned him. It's all that normal human behavior, and it's absolutely okay. It's how we are. It's how he made us.
That's right.
Because he made us that way, to come to him in those situations and to get up on his lap.
Amen.
And sit there as a child and be able to be comforted by him.
Amen. You know, Megan, at the celebration of life for Grayson, which I was very honored to be able to speak at, different people spoke that day, including you and your dad. And I've known your dad for many, many, many years, as long as I've known you and your mom. And Joe got up there, and amidst tears, your dad said that through all this, with the death of his grandson, he kept hearing the word release. And that just got into my heart, and I have never forgotten it. Because there's so often that we have situations we don't have answers to. We have situations that, God, why'd you do this? And your dad eloquently, between crying about losing his grandson, said the word of the hour for him was release. And so here we have a situation where Martha and Mary were forced to release their brother. And forced to wait and see what God was going to do. They didn't even know if Jesus was going to show up. He didn't come when they called him, you know. And here he comes. And you've got to know that probably on the inside, they were like, okay, whatever, you know, whatever you want to do. Because in verse 32, Mary says, she comes running up and she says, Master, if only you had been here, my brother would not have died. And Jesus saw her sobbing, and the Jews with her sobbing, and a deep anger welled up within him. He said, where did you put him? And in verse 34, 35, Master, come and see. And Jesus wept. The shortest verse in the Bible is John 11:35. Jesus wept because he, as you said earlier, Shell, and you were right on, Jesus wanted to demonstrate that he feels what we feel. He, mm-hmm. he has empathy with us. He understands our emotions. He did not condemn them, Mary or Martha, for their feelings. Mary was going like, hey, why didn't you come earlier? Jesus didn't say anything about that. He was crying. Talk to us about that, Shell. I love this right here.
Well, I like that he was patient and he didn't lose his temper. And he understood what a sensitive, delicate time it was. And I just love that he understands every emotion, every joy we experience, every amount of pain we experience, that he can empathize with us.
Oh, yeah.
Because he was part human and God.
Yes.
You know, but it also made me sad because he knew that he was going to have to go through this and that, you know, I mean, we know when he was in the garden, I mean, he wanted to get out of it. He didn't want to have to go through
it. No,
the
he didn't want to have to go through it.
Being impaled and humiliated and, you know,
stripped and
tortured.
Yeah.
And it so I'm just sad for him too,
yes,
at that point.
Interesting
but
point.
But also blessed,
yes,
that he gets what we go through.
Exactly. Talk to us, Megan, before we do this song.
Well, that is the coolest thing about Jesus, is that he was human. And
amen.
I can tell you that before my son passed away, I was still pregnant, and I had a vision that I kept to myself because I knew what was coming, was that Jesus appeared in front of me, and he was holding a child. And I knew at that moment that what that symbolized was that I was going to lose Grayson. But the most jaw-dropping thing was that he had tears in his eyes.
Wow.
Because
I remember, yeah, telling me that.
Yeah, yeah. No matter your situation.
Yes.
He hurts. Woo! With you, too.
Praise God.
He hurts.
Praise
with
God. That's right on. Dear listener, listen to what Shell and Megan are saying and what the scripture is revealing to us. Jesus is full of compassion. I can give you scripture after scripture. Just one that comes off the top of my head is Matthew 9:38, where it says, Jesus, full of compassion. And compassion is more than just, I feel bad for you. Compassion is seeing the pain in someone and having a desire to alleviate it. Jesus has compassion for you right now. Amazing grace, my chains are gone. Gonna love this song. Let it bless you. And then we'll bring Megan and Michelle right back.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed? My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me. And like a hope secure. as life endures. My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me. And like a flood, His mercy rains, unending love, amazing grace.
Amen.
Forever.
He wants to be your Savior, your Lord, your healer.
Forever.
He can be yours forever. That's what He wants. Love that song. We're talking about Lazarus, and when Jesus approached the tomb, He was there with Mary and Martha and a lot of the friends and family. And He was crying, which, just as we talked about, shows His humanity and shows how He feels when we're hurting and going through difficult times. Some of the people around in verse 37 said, look how He loved him so much. But why did He do something to stop this from dying? After all, He opened the eyes of a blind man. And then Jesus gets there to the tomb. And what's interesting is that Jesus orders the stone to be removed. And in His own resurrection, nobody ordered it. The angels just did it. Okay? This is a preamble or a type of what was getting ready to happen to Jesus Himself. And He says to remove the stone. And you have to understand that the rabbis, the Jewish rabbis at that time, taught that the spirit of the dead person hung around in the tomb for 3 days trying to get back into that body. That the spirit, this is not scriptural. This is what they were teaching at the time. It is not factual or scriptural. But that on the fourth day, then decomposition would set in and the body would start to decompose. And so if somebody happened to be raised from the dead within 3 days, as we know Jesus was, there was no decomposing of His body, okay? And we see here there was not of Lazarus either, because it's been the fourth day. Now, four is the number in the Bible for worldwide evangelism. And tell me, 2,000 and some years later, how many people know about the story of Lazarus being raised from the dead? I'd say that story has gone around the world. And I'm not talking about gone viral on YouTube or whatever. I'm talking about the fact that word of mouth and the copies of the scripture have been read by countless millions of people through the years that know that a man was dead and in a tomb with no air, no air source. It was a closed tomb for 4 days. And Jesus goes up and says, remove the stone. And in verse about 39, the sister of the dead man, Martha, said, Master, by this time there's a stench. He's been dead 4 days. I think that was why Jesus was delayed intentionally. from going to see about Lazarus. He wanted there to be an impossible situation, like that song we played a few minutes ago. He does impossible things. He loves impossible situations. So when you have one of those, you're getting ready for a miracle. And I'm telling you why, because you cannot have a miracle without an impossibility. And this was an impossibility. Talk to us about that shell, and then we'll go to Meg.
Yeah, I was thinking about that because, you know, recently I had taken a lot of anatomy courses and stuff, and I guess it was like the pinnacle of all his miracles, because we know he performed many, but
right,
none
right.
were so extreme
right.
as this one. Because I just pictured like him with rigor mortis and like bloating and starting to, to smell, and you know, the lady's even worried about that. I think it was Martha or Mary who commented.
This can't be good.
But yeah, waiting around for 4 days.
Right.
He made darn sure that in reality, our reality, without that miracle, he would have stunk. He would have been decomposing. And this, so it made it that much more incredulous and that much more of a mighty miracle for them to witness as a last miracle for him to perform before, you know, he was hauled off. And
so important, isn't it? Isn't that good? I mean, really, that's great how impossible this was, you know?
Yeah, I mean, it's no wonder it did circulate by word of mouth and before, you know, people read books. And
yeah.
Because, wow, I mean, you can't top that one.
No, you can't top that. Megan, talk to us. Love it.
Yeah, and exactly. He proved the rabbis wrong.
Yes, he did.
He sure did. And he made sure that it was, you know, day four, not day three. It was day four.
Right.
And just absolutely amazing, the miracle that was performed before his own death.
Exactly.
And it just, you know, just thinking about what he went through, the hurt that he had to encounter with watching, you know, having Lazarus pass away.
Right.
And then having to see the hurt upon, you know, on his sisters. It just, Jesus sure handles a lot on the daily. He really does.
He does.
He handles a lot.
Well, he is affected by the pains that we suffer. He feels those pains. It says that in scripture. And he comforts us with comfort that we've been comforted with. We comfort others because God has comforted us. And back to the point about your dad, Joe, Megan, saying release is the word of the hour. We have got to learn to release these burdens and these cares and these impossible situations to God Almighty because we can't fix them, Meg. Talk to me about that, then we'll go to Shell again.
No, you can't fix someone's bad attitude. You can't fix something hurtful that someone said to you. You can't fix the fact that maybe one of your family members is getting ready to enter the gates of heaven. But there is someone who can. That word release is so powerful, because if you could learn to do that, you would encounter the movements of God. And that is back to the I am. I am your comforter. I am your peace. He is everything.
Everything.
And learning to release is very difficult. I can speak to that from my own life. Release is very difficult. But when you get to that point, it's almost like taking out some stinky garbage, because all of that stuff that you've had with you, that you've been carrying with you, that has burdened you down for a year, can be gone.
Yeah.
Just by releasing it and letting
absolutely.
God take over.
And we struggle with this concept so much because we all have it in our head that you have to do this and this to get your miracle. And it's not like that. And before I go to Shell here, I want to go to John 12, 24 and 25. So basically probably the next page over in your Bible. And here's what Jesus said. Listen carefully. Unless a grain of wheat is buried in the ground, dead to the world, it is never any more than a grain of wheat. But if it is buried, it sprouts and reproduces itself many times over. In the same way, anyone who holds on to his life, just as it is, destroys that life. But if you let it go, reckless in your love, you'll have it forever, real and eternal. And now I realize why I brought up that example of release that your dad said, Megan, because we've got to learn to let these situations go. Talk to a shell.
I just think that, you know, you have to give it all over to him. I think it's so touching, and I was so comforted by the fact that Christ was not too proud to cry, that he wasn't ashamed.
Amen.
That he felt what we
Amen.
Felt.
Amen. Yes.
But, you know, we're partners with Christ, with God, and we need to meet him halfway, and we need to do our part by trusting him and meeting him halfway. You know, we can't just hang on to stuff. We can't just expect him to do all the work. We have to invest our time in him, our thoughts, and make love the main theme of our life.
Absolutely. And so often,
as he did.
Yes, exactly. And so often we just preoccupy ourselves with the problem, and all we can think about, talk about, cry and stew and get mad at God and all that is because we're not letting it go to him and realizing he's got a plan that is greater than ours. And so my point right here, Megan, I want to go to you. We got to die to live. We got to learn to surrender. Okay. We got to die to the way we think it should be.
Amen.
Go, Meg.
Oh, Pastor, that word surrender, it's such a hard thing to do. I mean, it really, really is. Because the times that I have surrendered, which I will continue to do, because that's when the trials of life happen, you got to hit your knees. And, you know, those times that people, even myself, have been curled up in a ball on the floor, and you're just an absolute unconsolable mess, and you feel alone, and you feel scared, and that there's nobody out there that cares about your well-being, there is a person right next to you when you're in that fetal position on the floor.
Amen, amen.
And that's Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And I can guarantee you without a shadow of a doubt that he's crying with you.
Mm-hmm.
But even though he's shedding a tear, he carries the comfort of strength. And the comfort of peace in that moment.
Yes.
That if you just let go and let him take over, that you will rise from that position and you will be of a new mindset. But don't think that you don't have to practice that type of life on a daily basis, because you do.
You do.
You got to practice every day. You need to give him just a little bit of what he gives you.
Mm-hmm.
It's because he gives us so much that I feel that I'm internally indebted to him because of all of the great things he's done for me.
Absolutely.
But just give him a little bit of your day, because no one deserves a little bit of your time more than he does.
Mm. Amen. Look at verse 40 right here in John 11. Jesus looked her in the eye, Martha, and said, "Didn't I tell you?" This is after she says, "Wait a minute. He's been dead 4 days. You know what that means. He smells." And Jesus says in verse 40, "Didn't I tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" People, this is the essence of the show today. You got to believe. You got to increase your faith. How does that happen? Romans 10:17 says, "Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." You must get in the word. You must read the word, because Jesus is the bread of life. And when you take in the bread of life, when you spend time in his word, when you listen to what he has to say to you, your circumstances change. And Jesus said, "Didn't I tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" And then to the others, he said, go ahead, take away the stone. They removed the stone. Jesus raised his eyes to heaven and prayed. Father, I love this. He didn't bow his head and close his eyes like we so often do. He raised his eyes to heaven and prayed. Father, I'm grateful that you have listened to me. I know you always do listen. But on account of this crowd standing here, I've spoken so that they might believe that you sent me. This was another sign for them to believe that God had sent his son to this earth. And verse 43, and in the Message Bible, it says, then he shouted. I like that because that's showing he's emphatic about this. He's not whispering, going, okay, hey, Lazarus, wherever you might be, you know, come on out, where are you? No, he shouted, Lazarus, come out. Lazarus, come out with force. He shouted it, and he came out, a cadaver, wrapped from head to toe with a kerchief over his face. You know what? He didn't even, that thing over his face didn't even fall down. He walked out as a wrapped up mummy. And Jesus said, unwrap him and let him loose. Death had to give way to the name of Jesus, the power of Jesus. Whoa. Quick comment from each of you before we do this song, and then we'll talk more to you on the other side. Shell, quick comment on that.
I would just be like, holy crap, hit the deck. But, you know, what I liked what you said about Jesus, he gave gratitude to his Father.
Yes.
And he was always a role model.
Yes.
In everything.
Yes.
He always led by example.
Amen.
And gave the same respect and love to his Father that he wants us to give to him.
Yes.
So, I mean, I'm just so grateful. It's a wonderful story. It's one of my favorite ones that we went over today.
Yeah, I love it.
Raising a Lazarus.
Yes, it shows the power of God. Megan, comment.
Well, you know, I just, real quick, is this might be a Lazarus moment for someone listening.
Amen.
Because after Grayson died, I think we had on the radio had mentioned this story, just like 2 days or so after, or 3 or 4 days after I came home from the hospital, we talked about Lazarus.
Yeah.
Well, I was in the shower that few days after I came home from the hospital, and I thought to myself, I'm going to pray that my son has a Lazarus moment. But God said, no, Megan, this is yours. Mm-hmm. And I thought,
I remember that, yeah.
Remember that, Pastor?
I do.
So, whoever's listening, and whoever you are, there's somebody that's going to hear this radio broadcast that this story is really going to resonate with you because your Lazarus moment is now.
Yeah.
That God is trying to get your attention, and he may just be hollering at you like Jesus did at Lazarus to come out of that tomb because he wants your attention. So whoever that person is, I pray right now in the name of Jesus that you have a spiritual, personal revival from hearing this radio broadcast.
Praise God. I agree.
Amen. Amen. Yeah.
You raise me up by Selah.
When I am down and oh, my soul so weary, when troubles come and my heart burden be, then I am still and wait here in silence until you come and sit a while with me. You raise me up so I can stand on mountains. You raise me up to walk on stormy seas. I am strong when I am on your shoulders. You raise me up to more than I can be. gives me to more than I can be. There is no life without its hunger. Each restless heart beats so imperfectly, but
praise you, God. Oh, God, we thank you that you do that. We thank you, Lord, that you are the resurrection and the life, and that we can have renewed life in every area of our lives when we just trust you, when we just surrender, when we just release the cares of our lives, our burdens and our problems into your hand, because we can't fix them. But we know that you have the perfect answer for what we're going through and the growth that we're going to experience as we go through trials and problems and questions in our lives. Lord, you always come. And sometimes it's weeks, months, years later, we see why something happened. But Lord, you are the one who's behind the scenes working in our lives because we trust you to lead us and guide us. And Lord, for our listeners out there right now, wherever they are scattered around this globe, we ask you in the name of Jesus to minister life, resurrection life to our listeners. Let them feel your presence anew today through the words of this show, the music that we've had, the comments, and just as we've shared you with our audience. Lord, the goal is always so that you be lifted up and you be glorified. And so we thank you, Lord. We ask a blessing on each listener, and we ask that they would just desire to get in their Bible and really study and learn who you are for them and their individual lives. Lord, that is our goal here, and we thank you for accomplishing what you wanted to accomplish today. We're just your servants here wanting to do what you want done. So, Lord, we thank you. We speak a blessing to every listener currently live today and later on as they listen to this show. Let them feel your presence and let them learn of you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I give you each time here to comment and say a few things. And Shell, let's go to you. Wow, God is moving.
Woo! Just want to say thanks for having me, and it's always a pleasure talking to Megan, and she's very eloquent, and I appreciate her faith.
She's great.
And you, Pastor. Just the takeaway, I guess, is, you know, we invest so much of our time in, you know, we look at retirement and what do we do to prep for our career changes and our life savings and our families, and you know, how much time do we actually invest in God the Father? And
mm-hmm.
we need to give him more time.
Yes.
And not
yes.
just once a week or once a day. We need to be checking in all the time mm-hmm. and try to make every decision. As Megan had pointed out earlier, with his guidance, we have
right.
to die in ourselves, in our own wills, and in our flesh in order to stay on course and to be with him forever.
Amen.
And so thank you.
Thank you. And we'll be back to you in just a moment. Megan, talk to us, and then we'll go back to each of you for a final thought. But go ahead, Meg.
Well, I turned my Bible open, and I'm going to read Proverbs chapter 3, just It's just verse 1 and 2. It says, good friend, don't forget all I have taught you. Take a heart my commands. They'll help you live a long, long time, a long life lived full and well.
So, God gave me those verses a few days ago. Maybe it was yesterday. It could have been Friday. I wrote them in my journal, Megan, because it really spoke to me. So, yes, because I'm getting ready to turn a certain number soon here. Shell and I are going to have birthdays back-to-back here in the next couple weeks. And it's kind of getting to me in some ways. And, you know, I God just led me right there to those scriptures. I opened my Bible to it. So, Megan, talk about that, will you?
Well, there you go, Pastor. There's another confirmation from the Lord.
There you go.
That you're going to be fine.
I'm going to be fine.
You're going to be fine, girl.
Thanks.
You know, it's just, you too, Shell. You're going to be fine.
Shell too. Yeah.
Yes, right.
Thank you.
With God on our side.
Yeah.
With God on our side, you know, everything is possible.
That's right.
There is no... The word impossible should not even be in your vocabulary because he is for you, not against you. And he wants you to live an abundant life.
Mm.
And he wants for you to know, and he wants to show you that he's right beside you in everything that you go through.
Absolutely. And you know what? When we grab a hold of a scripture and it comes alive like that, we call that a rhema word from God. And when it hits you, and it really did hit me, I could tell you in my journal I think it was yesterday or the day before. But I mean, it was just like, whoa, okay, God, I got you. I got a lot more to do here on this planet, regardless of the number I happen to be turning to. And, you know, all of us need to be so consumed with doing the will of our Father. And accomplishing what he would have us accomplish while we are still here on this earth and giving it all we got. And when we have times that are really difficult and we have questions that we don't seem to get answers to, just know that God is right there with you as you're going through it. So a final thought from both of you. This has been a very wonderful, powerful show today. And I the anointing of God has been all day long, the service this morning at Beacon and now this. And I'm just so blessed and so blessed by both of you. And Shell, we got to get you back on very, very soon. And Megan, don't be so long because we've missed you. So
my pleasure.
A final thought from both of you. Shell, go ahead.
Pastor, you're not to worry. You still look like a little spring chicken. And you have an amazing energy about you, and you just have to think back to what we talked about earlier. You've touched so many lives and have brought people to Jesus. Look at your family, look at your friends, look at your followers, your congregation, and there's still a lot of work for you to do.
A lot of work.
And I think that besides us looking, you know, to God and Jesus, they want us to keep sharing with others.
Yes.
Not just through words, but through our actions.
Amen.
Just Amen. Love.
It's what it's all about. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you
for
those kind words.
Somebody.
Yes.
Thanks for having me.
And thanks for being on. And Meg, talk to us.
Well, you know, Pastor, you are a woman of light. And they always say to surround yourself with people of peace. And you're one of those people for me, and you're one of those people for many. And I just speak a blessing upon you and a peace upon you that there's a new chapter getting ready to turn in your life.
I agree.
And it's going to be more powerful and more mighty than ever before.
I agree. That was confirmed this morning. I agree.
God.
And yes, there was a prophetic word given. Yeah, I totally agree. And you both are amazing. And, you know, you're just my kids, my spiritual kids, you know. So anyway.
spiritual mama.
Oh, yeah, there we go.
That's right.
Yeah. Wow.
Mama Mac.
Been a joy to be with you both. And we forgot about our Thursday night show. You can join me, Mama Mac, my other name, and Dr. Angel Falzone at 6:06 right here on this station every Thursday night. We're in a new series called Blind Man's Bluff. And it's about the red flags in relationships that we so often don't seem to see. So we did part one last Thursday night, and we're going to do part two this Thursday night, 6:06 p.m. right here on TanTalkNetwork.com, 106.1 FM, 104.3 FM. Check it out this Thursday night, 6:06 p.m. And as always, join us every Sunday afternoon right here for Living the Good Life. And the name of our Thursday night show is Go Yard, which means hitting a home run. So you can go right here to TanTalkNetwork.com, go to podcasts, go down to all the shows on this network, which there's a lot of them. Go to Go Yard to hear past shows in podcast form. And you can also do that on our website, which is GoYard2014.org. Or on our Sunday show, you can go to TanTalkNetwork.com, go to podcast, and go to Living the Good Life, which is the name of this show. So thank you again, Meg. Thank you again, Shell. Let's do this again real soon. That was a great, wonderful time together. And as always, we want you all to check out our Facebook posts. Go to Beacon of Hope Ministries. It's the one that's got a lighthouse. It's got a lot of colors in it. And you'll find all the posts there from a year and a half or more that I've been doing every week or two. So most of them are 15 to 20 minutes, so it's not going to be real long. But it's a tidbit that will probably help you in your daily life, because this ministry is all about practical Christian living. That's what we're about. And so we encourage you to check out our Thursday night show this week, 6:06 p.m. for part two of Blind Man's Bluff. And next Sunday afternoon, 3 p.m., right here, TanTalkNetwork.com, 106.1 FM, 104.3 FM, and 3 AM stations. God bless you. Have a great week. And this has been Megan Kramer, Michelle Loring Gray, and me, Pastor Marcia McAllister, bringing you the word today. God bless you. I'm going to be right here next week, God willing, and the creek don't rise. See you then.